Shalom! Why should we be frightened? If this were the end, would you be frightened? In 1975, I, Stefan Yah, called on the name I knew at the time. I spoke as a baby. Then a brother taught the truth about the name of Yahweh early in the 1990s. So we sat down and started researching. We used the scriptures, we prayed, we used Strong's Concordance, Hebrew lexicons, 30 Hebraic dictionaries, and discovered that Yahweh is the name of our Creator. There is not as much danger of having a different pronunciation or accent for a Heavenly Father's name compared to having a total disregard for the meaning and the spelling of His name, let alone the pronunciation. The greatest thing is to know Yahweh and to know Him by His name. Acts 4:12 and 22:16, Revelation 14:1, which we'll go to here in a moment, Matthew 10:22, Hosea 2:16, it's one of my favorites, of course, Hosea 2:16, Isaiah 26:13, Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Sion, or Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. How could they have the Father's name written in their foreheads if they didn't even know it? So they must have known. And what is the source and meaning of the name for him? Found right in the Word. If you go to the King James, to the Concordance, actually, find out that it's not L-O-R-D, but that it is Y-H-V-H. And you could pronounce that Yahweh, or you could maybe pronounce it a little bit differently. Okay, Acts 4:12. Look that up real quickly now as we move on here. And we're coming out of Babylon. Coming out, my people. Coming out not only of the false religion, false church, but coming out of our traditions that were wrong, that were opposed to the Word. Coming out of places where some said, the Spirit told me this, or the Holy Spirit told me this or that, when it was in contrast, in opposition to what the Word actually said, to what the Scripture said. No, the Spirit, it must have been a different Spirit. Because Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And in 22:16, I'm turning there, in my King James. And it says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be immersed, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. There in the King James, L-O-R-D, but we're not going to use that term. As we explained earlier, or as you may not have heard yet, but go to our article, Why the V in Yahweh, not Yahweh. The question, did our Messiah, the Apostle Paul, Abraham, or Moses, or other leaders in the Word, use a manufactured name for Yahweh, for Yahweh the Father? Since Messiah is the son of Yahweh, and since the emissaries were standing next to him, I believe they knew his name and that they wrote it down in the original manuscripts. Several Messianic or Hebraic writers on the internet have written the names for Yahweh and for the Son in different ways. One teacher has changed several times in the names as he studied further. And what if he changes a dozen times as he studies and does more research? Well, he prays and he asks the Spirit to give it to him, of course, but what if he did change another dozen times? You know, we have the freedom of speech to do that here. And since that seriously bothers those experts out there, should he just stick to the manufactured common name for the Messiah and say, and boast, I did not change, I was saved by that name the first time. I am concerned what others will think and say about me. I have changed many times. I want to go back to that borrowed name and never change my belief. People see that I am a stable person. That man will not do that because it appears to me that he's not a two-timer. He doesn't wear a wristwatch in each wrist. To avoid confusion, we should just use for a name for Messiah that everyone can agree on. Kind of like that soft rock radio slogan. Everyone can agree on a radio station. Everybody can agree on a name for Messiah. No way. I'm not going to let others decide for me. I want to find out for myself and do research. Now, who would decide anyway for me? You know, the elders of a denominational church that's been around for a couple thousand, you know, 1,000 years. And here's a scripture verse which we quote out of context. He is not the author of confusion. That slogan has been used as a catch-all for anything that is controversial. You know, if I say, well, I was confused, I didn't quite understand that. So is that from Satan just because I didn't understand? No. But Satan is the author of confusion and Yahweh is not. So if we study, maybe we're not going to be confused as much, right? We're not going to be confused. We'll know the truth. So if people disagree on a certain teaching like baptism or immersion, that is, if they're confused on tithing, if they disagree on when the new year is, or on the Torah, on repentance, then experts will say, your belief is of the demons because Yahweh is not the author of confusion. Yes, HaSatan does cause man to disagree and be confused, that many will just say, well, nothing matters. They'll throw up their hands and don't even try. Just believe. Just give up. And just believe and have this mythical speaking through the wall here. Should we go back to using the common manufactured name? I do not think so. Recently, I recommended a website that ran an expose, and that was good, but the leader ran articles against the Torah and, the law and the separated names. And he falsely judged people for not using the common name for Messiah, for not using his common name, and for those people who use proper names after they studied. Now, we don't have the wisdom to judge anybody to hell, and further, we do not have the power to send them there. Yahweh the Messiah does. We should not judge others for not using or for using Hebrew. Otherwise, we would have to put Abraham and Moses, the Messiah and Paul and all the emissaries on the list and condemn them also for having used the proper Hebrew name. So, of course, it's acceptable for us to use the proper name. But that well-meaning speaker also said that most of those who do not use English but use Hebrew are full of pride. So, Abraham and all the prophets, and we'll have to put them on the list as well, of those who were full of pride. We'll have to agree partly with the lecturer, though. We do know of some others who are prideful. Oh, much more and much worse. But we're not going to name them, because that's a pride problem that needs to be burnt out of their spirits. For example, we know of thousands who ignorantly use the word Easter. The derivative of that word. You should find out. There are those who teach that one can divorce and remarry, who teach that tithing was done away with. We don't receive tithes here at this ministry, and that you do not need to be immersed. Oh, we do believe in tithing, of course. We believe in immersion. Some people believe it's okay to be a sodomite, and that Yahweh created, but he used evolution to create things. They believe that. I don't believe that. They believe the Torah was done away with. They preach false liberty. They're preaching bondage so that we will be under the law or under the penalty of the law just as they are. They are not all alike. They're not all Torah breakers. No one has all the truth. No one has it all except for Yahweh. He tells us to strive to become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. He said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And somebody said there, that man I was speaking of earlier, he said, too much truth will put you back into bondage. Well, he needs to read John 8:32 and also 8:36. A statement was made. Even a truth, when taken to an extreme, brings one into error. Okay, let's see. Let's have partial obedience and partial knowledge. Don't go too far about studying and obeying the word. That's crazy, isn't it? You know, just do what is spoon-fed every morning, every Sabbath morning, but we should not go beyond what the experts say. Just trust in them? No way. Those guys are silly. We do not worry that too much obedience leads to legalism, ending in bondage. There is no scripture concept for that. There is not any concept for that. And then they criticize further private study. You're not supposed to do that. Private study brings one to danger. That's absurd. Why would anybody bother to follow 2 Timothy 2:15 then? Of course we can study in groups, but we can also study personally. And, you know, when we're new in the faith, we need to ask others this and that. Now, that's okay, too. So, we partly agree that if you're too independent and never ask others what they think, you could be misled. Even if you're truly saved, you can still make a careless mistake, but we ought to seek the counsel of other believers. And fear not, you know, we need not to fear. Because there's a lot of things going on in current events that could make us fearful. But when we trust in Yahweh and His Spirit, and, you know, and first and foremost in His Word, He is the Word, then we should, you know, perfect love and perfect obedience should cast out all fear. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. It says we are a royal priesthood. So why do we need to fight? Let us show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Or Deuteronomy 14:2 says, we are priests. We should act, look, and walk like one, shouldn't we? Jeremiah 17, well, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I do. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? So, you know, we all think that we know it. You know, hopefully we've researched as far as we can on every subject and every teaching and doctrine, but it's still, the heart is deceitful. Oh, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, that's where that is. Who can teach if not, like Isaiah says in chapter 28, line upon line, here a little, there a little, line upon line, here a little. Who, what, where, why, and when are good questions when studying Scripture, but if you ask this question, to whom is Galatians addressed to, or who is Corinthians addressed to? It's addressed to the Galatians, to the Corinthians. Then I'd have to admit that it was just to them and not to me. But if I believe in living by all Scripture, as Timothy and Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, 3:16, 2 Peter 3:16, and various places, all Scripture is relevant to me. Matthew 4:4. Or to live by every word that proceeds from Yahweh, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. Well, you know, how about that one, go hang yourself? No. That's out of context, my brother or sister. And I study not only in the passage that is written, but also other books, too, that are in the Scriptures. I don't just study the book of John, or not just John 3:16. We want to look at all the chapters and verses which have to do with that same teaching. For example, to put immersion in its perspective, or baptism, then I'll start looking in the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament, and finish up somewhere near the end of the New Testament. It's so-called because some of the old is not really old yet. Isaiah 66, for example, has not yet happened. And when I'm living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, everything applies to me, unless it has been clearly removed, undoubtedly, clearly, plainly, visibly, unmistakably, and openly. The antonym or reverse of clearly is ambiguously. When the word is clear, we need to be clear. Where it's vague, we cannot justify the problem, then we need to be vague. That's why Hebrews 9 is our guide for the things which have been abrogated, or literally completed. So to some, I guess that makes us cultists, but we need to kind of chain ourselves, not to the computer, but to to the Word, to study the Word, study Jeremiah, devour the Word, the Scriptures, study the Torah. Messiah read it. The Word will not bite you. And it was sufficient for Paul to read the Old Testament Scriptures, so-called Old Testament. How can we sit there chained to our television sets or to our urban country music? If we chain ourselves to the Word, we'll know the truth and be set free. No more frightening things will happen to us. We don't need to argue about the law because it was written in our hearts where we can forget it. No, it says where it's written in our hearts, well, we will remember. Jeremiah 31, the Torah is in the heart. Then one says, as an alibi, well, I'm a believer, I can break the law. Someday I will even break the law of gravity. But if we disobey Yahweh, he will not let us break the law of gravity someday. We want to be free when he comes. Don't miss the boat. Oh, it's a frightening time. Those frightening times are coming. So let us keep studying the Word diligently. Praise Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh.